When I think of the appalling suffering that so many tens of millions of people have gone through in this century and are still going through in many parts of the world, when I think that Christ, God's Son, took all the pain caused by man's sin and injustice of all time to himself, when I think of that, I feel rather ashamed that so many of us in our country want to spend our time complaining that we're not prosperous enough. Now I come today to Peter's denial of Jesus three times. There have been many sermons preached about Peter and his denial of Christ. After Jesus was arrested, Simon Peter was challenged three times. You are a companion of Jesus. And each time he denied it. And then the cock crowed, and he remembered that Jesus had told him that that's what would happen, and he wept bitterly. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, Jesus warns Simon Peter what will happen. This is what we read in those verses. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Simon replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Simon, Simon, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. Satan has desired to have you and to sift you. That word you is in the plural. Jesus is not just speaking to Peter, he's speaking to all the disciples. All of them would be sifted as wheat, not just Simon Peter. And through Simon Peter, Jesus addresses all of us. All of us go through times when we are challenged and exposed to the depth of our being, just as Simon Peter was. Our outer defenses and barriers that we have erected are knocked down and blown away like chaff. And we see ourselves as we really are. And others see us as we really are. It can be a painful experience when we see the truth. But out of it, God can rebuild us and renew us and fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we can be a tower of strength to others when they fall. The stronger the barriers we erect around ourselves of pretense and hypocrisy, the more painful it will be for us when the barriers are knocked down and we see ourselves as we really are. Satan came with his attack against Jesus, and it led to the crucifixion. But out of it came the opposite of what Satan had intended. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. Satan attacked Peter. It led to his denial, denying Jesus three times. But in the end, Simon Peter was immeasurably strengthened. Satan attacked the disciples. They all ran away. But in the end, they became fearless, fearless messengers for the gospel in all the world. Satan may attack you and me as well, but if we allow the Lord to do his work, God will lead us through our bad experiences to much greater service for him. Peter was very fond of Jesus as a person. But Peter did not want Jesus to go to the cross. Let's consider the facts of the story. Way back in Luke chapter 9, we read that Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And then Jesus went on to tell Peter and the disciples, "I must die upon the cross." Peter, on hearing that, grabs Jesus and says, "No, this must never happen to you." Then later in Luke 22, Jesus says to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you turn back, strengthen your brethren." After Jesus is arrested, Peter actually does deny Jesus three times. He curses and swears as he denies that he ever knew him. And then the cock crows. Then Peter weeps. Then Jesus is crucified. Later on the lake shore, after the resurrection, Jesus asks Peter three times, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And he answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." God has his way of saving the world from sin and death and sorrow. And his way is this: he bears away our sin and death in his own body on the cross. But like Simon Peter, you and I often think that God should have saved the world in a different way. We make two mistakes. We think that God should do something like waving a magic wand to solve all the problems of the world. He's so powerful. Why doesn't he just wave a magic wand and all sickness and sorrow and death and war and sin would be gone? Related to this, we think it should be easy for God to save the world. If we were as powerful as he was, couldn't we solve all the world's problems? Little children often think, wouldn't it be great if we were as powerful as the grown-ups? Oh, look at all the wonderful things we could do. We have to learn, firstly, that it is not easy for God to save the world from sin and sickness and tragedy and sorrow and death. Secondly, we have to learn that you and I are part of God's problem. Peter, you see, thought it was just the bad Pharisees who were the cause of the problem. They were always opposing Jesus. It was the chief priests and the Roman soldiers. They were the bad people. He didn't realize that he too was part of the world's problem. Not only him, but all the disciples as well. You know, today we blame all sorts of people for the state of the world, except ourselves. Some people say if only we could get rid of the capitalists, the world's problems would be solved. Others say if only we could get rid of the socialists, the world's problems would be solved. Eastern Europe's getting rid of communism now. Does that mean it's going to have no more problems? Many people in Eastern Europe think that means their problems are over. But their problems are not over. The Irish say if only the British would get out of Northern Ireland, Ireland would have all its problems solved. The Northern Ireland Unionists say if only the Irish Catholics would leave us alone, all our problems would be solved. You and I may think if only so-and-so would get off my back, all my personal problems would be solved. We don't realize that God loves all peoples. And all peoples need forgiveness of their sins. We don't realize that we too, you and me, also need forgiveness. You and I are indeed part of the problem. Forgiveness is the removal of guilt. And guilt can't be removed by a magic wand, not even God's magic wand. There's only one way for God to remove our guilt, and that is to bear our guilt in his own body upon the cross. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus taught the way of salvation to his disciples. He said that it was by his suffering and death that he would save the world. But Peter says no. Peter wanted Jesus to use all his power like a great magic wand. He didn't want him to die. We too easily reject the cross. We do so every time we say, why doesn't God get rid of all the problems of the world now? Have you ever said that? Why didn't he stop all the sin and the war and the tragedies now? We don't realize it's not so easy for God to do that. Our guilt wouldn't be taken away if that's what he did. And that you and I are part of the problem. Do we really want God to get rid of us? If he was to get rid of all the sin in the world, he'd have to get rid of you and me too, because we're sinners. God loves us too much to do that. God cannot solve the problems of illness, death, war, apart from solving the problem of human sin itself. And so Jesus said of himself, the Son of Man must suffer many things. And Peter said, no, not that way. And then the time gets near. Jesus is arrested, and there's a struggle in Peter's own heart. He follows Jesus from a distance. He does believe that Jesus is great and a good man, but why is he going to the cross? Then suddenly, as all these thoughts are in his mind, he's challenged. You were a friend of Jesus. And he denies it. He's challenged a second and third time, and he curses and swears and said, I never known that man. So what happened? In the face of the suffering of Jesus, Peter's own sinful heart is exposed. As the cock crows, he realizes that he is a sinner. He hadn't realized it much before. He sees right into his own heart and he weeps. Now at last, he realizes that he too is part of the problem. He too needs forgiveness. It's not just the Pharisees, not just the Roman soldiers, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you and I recognized we too have been part of the world's problem. Peter and the disciples wanted good to triumph. They were on the side of Jesus, but they didn't want God's way of saving the world. And in their anger at God for not using his powerful magic wand to solve the problems of the world, in their anger at God, they showed their own sin. Peter denied Jesus, and the rest of the disciples ran away. And at last, they realized why the cross was necessary. The death of Jesus had sifted the disciples. Jesus had said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brethren. For you and me, dear friends, do not ever be afraid of seeing into your own heart. Although you may be shocked at the reality, Jesus has prayed for you that your faith fail not. Indeed, in order for God really to save us, our barriers need to come down. Those things we've erected, our pretenses in life, need to come down so that God can save us. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he said to the women, go and tell my disciples and Peter, that I will see them. Peter was not excluded. And then on the beach, three times, Jesus says to him, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus gives him something to do, feed my sheep. Do you and I wish goodness to triumph in the world? you and I wish to serve the Lord, the way we begin to do that is at the foot of the cross, because it's there that God can deal with the wrong in our own heart. And then he can convert us to him fully, so that we will then be able to serve him and strengthen our brethren and sisters, so that they too, with us, may find the forgiveness of their sins and serve the Lord in joy. Let us pray. Lord God, we are sorry that there have been times when we've been angry that you have not just solved the world's problems at a stroke, but you came in great love, beyond our comprehension, and in great meekness, to accept the mocking and spitting of those who were your enemies, that they might be forgiven. And we too, Lord, need your forgiveness. Restore us to the joy of your salvation, we pray. Through Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.